I'll read verses 1 through 11, but again, remind you, I'll be preaching on Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 3. Please listen as I read God's word. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterwards it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. In 1924, the Olympic runner Eric Liddell won a gold medal in the 400-meter sprint. He is famous for that gold medal, but maybe not for the reason that you recognize. He was made famous because that was not the race that he trained for. He was a 100-meter sprinter. And if you've ever run a 400 meter, you know that 400 is not 100. And it's a very different race. And yet, Eric Liddell chose to run the 400 meter because the qualifying heats for his race, the 100 meter, fell on the Lord's Day. And wanting to honor the Lord's Day and to keep that a day of rest, he chose instead to not run in the race that he had trained for, and instead to run the 400 meter. And he went on to win the gold medal there. After that, Eric went on to fame and fortune and made millions of dollars by commercial endorsements, right? I see you're familiar with the story that's made famous by Chariots of Fire. What that movie doesn't tell as much of is what happened after Eric won the gold medal. Following the Olympics, Eric went on to serve in the mission field in China. He was eventually caught up in the conflict that happened between China and Japan, and he died in a Japanese prison camp. He died a rich man, but not rich in the way that the world thinks of it. He was running another race, a spiritual race, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of his faith. Having finished the race and having overcome, he received a crown of life from the Lord Jesus. I tell that story to set the stage for Hebrews chapter 12. Here the author goes back to an illustration that he has alluded to before in this letter, and it's the illustration of a race, of running the race and speaking of the Christian life as running a race that is set in front of us. The idea of these verses is well summarized by this exhortation. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. It compares the Christian life to a race, not a quick sprint, not one that is over in 10 seconds time, but instead a lifelong race of endurance. Always looking forward and always working towards that finish line of seeing Jesus face to face. Now, that may seem a daunting task to think of the rest of your life as being an endurance race. And quite honestly, it would if you approach that exhortation in your own strength. If you think that you are going to run the race because of your own willpower, your own ability, or your own faithfulness, you're going to wear yourself out in the first mile. Instead, what Hebrews does is it not only gives the exhortation to run with endurance, but it tells you how you may do that. It's through the power of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the author and finisher of your faith. Therefore, run the race of the Christian life with your eyes fixed on Him. That will be our meditation today. Jesus is the author and finisher of your faith. Therefore, run the race of the Christian life with your eyes fixed on Him. We're going to start by noticing that there are a variety of helps that Jesus gives. One of them starts off as a cloud of witnesses. Verse 1 starts with the word therefore. It links all of what's going to happen in chapter 12 with everything that has happened immediately previously, especially all of those examples that the author gave in Hebrews chapter 11. Remember, he's taken time to go through all of these familiar characters, especially to the Jews that originally heard this letter. They would have known who Abel was, and Enoch, and Noah, Moses, Abraham, and all of these characters. They're given as what the author calls a cloud of witnesses. We've had the privilege over the last couple of months to meditate on the men and women that lived by faith and how they did that. But the author of Hebrews wasn't just interested in telling stories for the sake of telling stories. It's all driving to this point. Therefore, run the race that is set before you with endurance. He wants to use those examples to motivate you, and his readers to follow their example, to not turn away from Jesus, but to persevere to the end. And you can catch the urgency of what he's saying. He says that we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. There's an urgency about that because of the crucial nature of the Christian life and of the crucial nature of faith itself. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And so the author of Hebrews is not just telling stories, but he's urging you on in that Christian faith. So stop and think about this. We are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. It refers back to those Old Testament believers who walked by faith. They're witnesses that surround us even today. They witness in two ways. First, the believers who had gone before are spoken of as ones who stand in awe, even in glory, and watch on what Christ is accomplishing in history. You read in the book of Revelation, you can hear some of the interaction that is happening even now between the saints and our God. There's a crying out of the martyrs as they say, "How long, O Lord? When will this take place?" There's this eager looking forward to the redemption of the bodies, of our bodies. And we join together with them, watching on in the history of redemption. And it provides something of a connection for us to God's people in all of history. one author that I read this week compared it to how encouraging it is to participate in something like this with a team. Runners can sometimes talk about this too. Runners will go out on their own, and they may run for a marathon. But when they have training partners, or when they have others that will run with them, they find that they excel in a greater fashion. Or think about your favorite team being urged on by the crowd around them. Unfortunately, falling short as favorite teams did yesterday, but urged on by their teams. They perform better in that way. And you and I are, in a sense, joining together with those witnesses that have gone before. Again, the book of Revelation describes us, when we especially come to worship, that we join with other believers in bowing before our Lord. There's a second way in which they witness, though, too. The believers that have gone before serve as witnesses in that their testimonies instruct us. Like Abel, we can say that though they are dead, they still speak. We've listened to their voices throughout these last months as I read and preached from chapter 11. So we learned from Abel that faith must rest in the offering that is perfect, the offering of Jesus Christ. We learned from Enoch that without faith it is impossible to please God. And we learned from Noah and Sarah and so on about the nature of faith. We are instructed by their examples. Altogether, they cheer you on in a way that says that you live in a better age than they did. They lived before Jesus Christ, looking forward to him, and you in the full light of Christ. And because of that, they urge you on. Run by faith. Run with endurance. The second instruction that is given here is to run getting rid of hindrances. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us. Well, this just makes good sense, doesn't it? You don't even have to be a one who runs races to know that if you want to run fast, you need to be unencumbered. You want to change out of hiking boots into running shoes. You're going to take off a heavy coat and a backpack full of books so that you can run faster, right? And if your shoelaces are tied together, you're going to stumble and fall. It's an example that's very easy to understand, isn't it? And that's what the author is calling your attention to. If you're serious about running the Christian life, then take stock of your readiness for running. Take stock of the things that hinder you. The author identifies two categories in this area. The first is easy to understand. It's the sin that so easily ensnares us. Are you indulging certain sins that tangle up your feet? That make you constantly stumble and trip. Indulging sin is like trying to run with your feet tied together. Even as a believer, you know what it's like to stumble in sin. You may turn your attention to loving the things of the world. You may find that you're caught up with the fear of mankind rather than the fear of God. You may stumble in sexual immorality or covetousness or pride. Those sins ensnare you. They impede the Christian life and the race that you are running. They affect the way that you run. They affect the testimony that you have with those around you. They affect your assurance of salvation. Part of running is to be honest about those sins that ensnare you. And to be serious about putting them off. Elsewhere in the New Testament, Paul talks about even putting to death those sins that are common to you. Maybe habits that have been formed over years, to work diligently in putting them off. Well, then Hebrews also warns about a second category. Warns you to lay aside every weight that hinders you when you run. And these weights seem not to be sinful in and of themselves, but instead they might be good and proper things that have come to take a different place in your life, a place of mastery or a place of obsession. Here, the Bible teaches prudence and self-discipline. We would affirm that there are things in the world that we enjoy. The Bible gives us an opportunity to enjoy them, but not to be mastered by them. For instance, we have many ways that we entertain ourselves in our culture these days. You may enjoy watching movies or reading books, being engaged in sports, videos, games, on and on. There are just lots and lots of ways we entertain ourselves these days. They're not sinful to be engaged in, but they can take a place of mastery in your life. You might prefer to lose yourself in a game or in a video and neglect your devotions. You might prefer to have time for sitting down to watch a movie, but discover that you have no time for prayer. Again, keep in mind that these things are not sinful, but they distract you from the race that you are in. God calls you to be in control of them, and part of running involves self-discipline, not being mastered by anything, but rather to run with endurance with your eyes fixed on Jesus. That's the third instruction that this passage gives. To run looking to Jesus. Verse 1 called your attention to the cloud of witnesses that is around you. But now verse 2 narrows your focus to the finish line. It narrows your focus to Jesus and says, here is where your attention has to be. It has to be looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. Pause and think about those two words and find in them great encouragement. Jesus is the author of your salvation. He secured that by his death on the cross. He's the one who defeated Satan by his battling against him and by his offering his sacrifice. Earlier, Hebrews says that Jesus has defeated Satan, who had ensnared and imprisoned mankind under the power of the fear of death all of their lives. It's the work of Jesus Christ to set us free from that. By his life and by his death, he has become the source of everlasting life. And that means that if that goal, if that prize is something that you desire, the prize of everlasting life, that the very first thing you must come to recognize is that Jesus and Jesus alone is the author of salvation. If you're looking to anything else, then you're running the wrong race. You're running the wrong way, and you will not merit the prize of everlasting life. That gift of salvation only comes when you look to Jesus. So as you run the race, you need to recognize that it must come through the authorship of Jesus Christ, and your faith must be in him. Jesus is, secondly, the finisher of your faith. He's a champion who has reached the finish line for us. Again, earlier Hebrews has been full of this subject. He says Jesus is the forerunner who went before us. He's gone into the glorious presence of the Father. He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. By his life and his death, he purges our sin, and he now intercedes for us as the great high priest. So not only is Jesus the one who initiates salvation for us, but he sustains us in the midst of the race. He constantly intercedes. Here's where I say that if you're trying to run the race in your own strength, you're gonna die trying. Instead, we know that Jesus now intercedes for us. And by faith, we look to him. Not just as an example, but as the source and sustainer of your salvation. Again, if you don't get this, then you're running towards the wrong finish line. If you do, you'll come to understand more and more how Jesus sustains you, how you can run the race of the Christian life with endurance. Because you're not relying on your own strength, but relying on the perfect strength of Jesus Christ. Hebrews also calls attention to the manner in which Jesus himself ran. You look at verse 2, it describes the race that Jesus ran. It says, "Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Remember that this is a letter that comes in the midst of adversity. Running a race carries all sorts of adversity in it. Just think of practically what you face when you go out to run. There are lots of things that seemingly rise up to argue against going out to run. In the midst of it, your mind may be saying, you know, you can't make it. You can't do this. It's time to stop. Your legs hurt. The weather's bad. It's too hot. It's too cold. Running just is full of adversity. But as you run the race of the Christian life, you can be assured that Jesus understands that adversity because he's faced the same types of adversities. He went through the agony of being forsaken by his closest friends. He endured the painful and shameful death of the cross. He suffered the full wrath of the Father poured out on him as the penalty for sin. And yet, he did so because of the joy that was set before him. And I don't know about you, but that little phrase in there is just a startling phrase. They could describe Jesus' agony of the cross as a joy that was set before him. Well, there's instruction here. There's help here to see how there is something beyond the agony of the moment. There's something beyond what we suffer in this life. There is a prize at the end of the race. And that prize makes all of this worthwhile. Now, Jesus knew that too. Jesus knew what he would suffer on the cross. He knew what he would go through. He agonized over that and even asked that the cup be passed from him. And yet, for the joy of the salvation that would be accomplished, he endured that shame. He despised the disgrace that he would face. He accomplished redemption and has ascended on high and is now seated at the heavenly throne. He did so for the joy that is set before us. In this way, Jesus can be looked to as an example of endurance. He was obedient under the worst possible affliction. And in a similar way, you too can look to him and find an example of an obedience you can follow. Verse 3 treats it in something of this way. It says this, For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You can take his suffering endurance as an example. But please don't stop there with just an example. Because Jesus is much more than an example. He is the source of your salvation. He is the source of your endurance. He is not just an example to follow. It is by your union with him, it's by your being connected to him by faith, that all of this is possible. The benediction that is given at the end of Hebrews calls your attention to that. It speaks of our union with Christ that happens because through the blood of the everlasting covenant, God has raised up Christ Jesus. We're united with him. Because of that, he makes you able to run with endurance the race that is set before you. It is through Jesus that God makes you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Christ Jesus. It is by that indwelling spirit, by your union with Christ, that this is all possible. So yes, he is an example, but he is more than that. He is the source and the sustainer of your salvation. Because of that, you can run with endurance the race that is set before you. And so run. Run the Christian life that is in front of you. Looking to Jesus. Remember that this is first and foremost. It's the starting blocks. If you are not a believer and if you are not in Jesus Christ and you are longing for the prize of eternal life, knowing that there has to be more than what is all what you see around you, then you need to hear this call. You must run the race looking to Jesus. You must repent of your sins and entrust your soul to him. Run recognizing the cloud of witnesses that is around you. In particular, as you gather for worship, remember that you are united to Christ and therefore united to believers that you can see with your eyes, your physical eyes, but also united with believers that have gone before. Listen to their testimony that points you to faith in Christ. Run laying aside those things that distract and hinder you. Be watchful and prayerful against the sins that easily entangle you. Watch and pray lest any good thing become out of balance and becomes a master over you. Run with endurance. The reward at the end of the race makes everything worth it. So no matter what you go through in this life, remember that Jesus sets joy before you. He has promised that there is a day that he will wipe away every tear. He has promised that there will be no more death, no more sorrow or crying or pain, because in Jesus Christ you will have eternal life. Run with that goal in mind. And so run, because Jesus is your author and finisher of your faith. Run with endurance, having your eyes fixed on him. Let's bow in prayer. Lord, we thank you for our Savior Jesus Christ, who has made salvation possible. We thank you, O God, that you have set us upon that race of the Christian life by the faith that you have given to us. I pray, O Lord, that having been instructed by all of these examples in the past, that we might indeed run with our eyes fixed upon Jesus Christ. And, O Lord, we confess that there are sins that entangle us. We confess that there are weights that distract us and that trip us up. We pray, O Lord, that we might be watchful and prayerful against those things. And, Lord, in all of this, may we have a single-minded focus on our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. May we have a single-minded focus so that all of our lives are lived to his glory. And so let us run with endurance, the life and the race that you have set before us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.